Vimes reached up and took a mug of water from Angua. It was teeth-achingly cold and the best drink he'd ever tasted. And his mind worked fast, flying in emergency supplies of common sense, as human minds do, to construct a huge anchor in sanity and prove that what had happened hadn't really happened, and, if it had happened, hadn't happened much. It was all mystic, that's what it was. Oh, it might all be true, but how could you ever tell? You had to stick to the things you can see, and you had to keep reminding yourself of that too. Yeah, that was it. What had really happened, eh? A few signs. Well, anything can look like you want it to if you're wound up enough, yes? A sheep can look like a cow, right? As for the rest, well, Bashfulson seemed a decent lad, but you didn't have to buy into his world view. Same with Mr. Shine. That sort of thing could spook you. He'd been wound up about young Sam, and when he'd seen those devil guards, of course he'd gone for them. He hadn't been getting much sleep lately. It seemed like every hour brought some new problem. The mind played funny tricks. Surviving the underground river? Easy. He must have kept himself afloat. There are a lot of things the body would rather do than die. There. Some logical thought, and the mystic becomes, well, straightforward. You can stop feeling like some puppet and become a man with a purpose once again. He put down the empty mug and stood up, purposefully. "I'm going to see how my men are," he announced. "I'll come with you," said Bashfulson quickly. "I think I need no assistance," lied Vimes, as coolly as he could. "I'm sure you do not," said the dwarf. "But Captain Good is a little nervous." "He'll be a lot nervous if I don't like what I see," said Vimes. "Yes, that's why I'm coming with you," said Bashfulson. Vimes set off across the cavern a little faster than he felt was comfortable, the grag kept up by skipping at every other step. "Don't think you know me, Mr. Bashfulson," he growled. "Don't think I took pity on those bastards. Don't think I was merciful. You just don't kill the helpless. You just don't." "The dark guards seem to have no trouble with the prospect," said Bashfulson. "Exactly," said Vimes. "By the way, Mr. Bashfulson, what kind of dwarf doesn't carry an axe?" "Well, as a grag, my first resort, of course, is to my voice," said the grag. "The axe is nothing without the hand, and the hand is nothing without the mind. I've trained myself to think about axes."
"Sounds mystical to me," said Vimes.
"I suppose it would," said Bashfulson.
"Here we are."
Here was the area that the newly arrived dwarfs had occupied. Very military, Vimes thought. A defensive square. You're not sure who your enemies are, and neither am I. The nearest dwarf regarded him with that slightly defiant, slightly uneasy look he'd come to recognize. Captain Good straightened up. Vimes looked over the dwarf's shoulder, which was not hard to do. There were Nobby and Fred Colon, and both of the trolls, and even Cheery, all sitting in a huddle.
"Are my men under arrest, Captain?" he said. "My orders are to detain everyone found here," said the captain.
Vimes admired the flatness of the response. It meant, "I am not interested in a dialogue at this time."
"What is your authority here, Captain?" he said. "My authority comes threefold, the Lord King, Mining Law, and 60 armed dwarfs," said Good.
"Bugger," thought Vimes. "I forgot about mining law. This is a problem. I think I need to delegate. A good commander learns to delegate. Therefore, I will delegate this problem to Captain Good."
"That was a good answer, Captain," he said, "and I respect it."
In one movement, he pushed past and headed for the watchman. He stopped dead when he heard the sound of drawn metal behind him, raised his hands and said,
"Greg Bashfulson, will you explain matters to the captain? I have stepped into his custody, not out of it, and this is not the time or place for rash action."
He walked on without waiting for a reply. Admittedly, banking on the fact that someone would get into trouble if they killed you would probably come under the heading of rash action, but he'd just have to live with that. Or, of course, not. He hunkered down by Nobby and Colon.
"Sorry about this, Mr. Vimes," said Fred. "We were waiting on the path with some horses, and they just turned up. We showed them our badges, but they just did not want to know."
"Understood. And you, Cheery?"
"I thought it would be best to stay together, sir," said Cheery earnestly.
"Right. And you to—"
Vimes looked down and felt the bile rise. Brick and Detritus both had chains on their legs.
"You let them shackle you," he said.
"Well, it seemed to be getting all poll-itical, Mr. Vimes," said Detritus. "But say the word, and me and Brick can have them off, no trouble. They're only field chains. My granny could have bust out of them."
Vimes felt the anger rising, but put a lid on it.
Right now, Detritus was being rather more sensible than his boss. "Don't do that. Not unless I say so," he said. "Where are the Grags?"
"They're guarding them in another cave, sir," said Cheery. "And the miners. Sir, they said the Low King is on his way."
"Good job it's a big cave. Otherwise it'd be getting crowded," said Vimes. He walked back to the captain and bent down. "You chained up my sergeant," he said.
"He's a troll. This is Goom Valley," said the captain flatly.
"Except even I could bust out of a chain that thin," said Vimes. He glanced up. Sally and Angua had regained their amour propre in their proper armour and were watching Vimes carefully. "Those two officers are a vampire and a werewolf," he said, still in the same level voice. "I know you know this, and you very wisely didn't try to lay a finger on them. And Bashfulson's a grag. But you put my sergeant in weak chains that he could snap with a finger, so as you could kill him and say he was trying to escape. Don't even think about denying it. I know a dirty trick when I see one. Shall I tell you what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a chance to show brotherly love and let the trolls out right now. And the others. Otherwise, unless you kill me, I'll poison your future career to the very best of my ability, and you don't dare kill me." The captain eyeballed him, but it was a game Vimes had mastered a long time ago. Then the dwarf's gaze fell on Vimes's arm, and he gave a groan and took a step back, raising his hand protectively.
"Yes, I'll do it, yes."
"See you do," said Vimes, taken aback. Then he, too, looked down at the inside of his wrist. "What the hell is this?" he said, turning to Bashfulson.
"Ah, it left its mark on you, Commander," said the Grag, cheerfully. "An exit wound, perhaps."
On the soft underskin of Vimes's wrist, the sign of the summoning dark blazed as a livid scar. Vimes turned his arm this way and that. "It was real," he said.
"Yes, but it has gone, I'm sure. There's a difference in you."
Vimes rubbed the symbol. It didn't hurt. It was simply raised, reddened skin. "It's not going to come back, is it?" he said.
"I doubt it'll risk it, sir," said Angua.
Vimes had opened his mouth to ask her what she meant by that piece of sarcasm, when yet more dwarfs trotted into the cavern. These were the tallest and broadest he'd seen. Unlike most dwarfs, they wore simple mail shirts and carried one axe, one good, large and beautifully balanced axe. Other dwarfs bristled with up to a dozen weapons. These dwarfs bristled with one each, and they separated and spread out into the cavern with a purpose, covering lines of sight, guarding shadows, and, in the case of four of them, taking up station behind Detritus and Brick. When they finally clattered to a halt, another group stepped out of the tunnel. Vimes recognised Rhys, Low King of the Dwarfs. He stopped, looked around, glanced briefly at Vimes, and summoned the captain to him.
"We have everything?"
"Sire,"
said Good, nervously. "You know what I mean, Captain."
"Yes, but we found nothing on any of them, sire. We searched them, and we've gone over the floor three times."
"Excuse me," said Vimes.
"Commander Vimes," said the King, turning and greeting Vimes like a long-lost son. "It is good to see you."
"You've lost the bloody cube," said Vimes. "After all this..."
"What cube would this be, Commander?"
said the King. Vimes had to admire his acting ability at least.
"The one you're looking for," he said. "The one dug up in my city. The one all this fuss is about. They wouldn't throw it away because they're grags, right? You can't destroy words. It's the worst crime there is. So they'd keep it with them."
The Low King looked at Captain Good, who swallowed.
"It's not in this cave," he muttered.
"They wouldn't leave it anywhere else," said Vimes. "Not now. Someone might find it." The luckless captain turned to his king, seeking help there.
"There was panic everywhere when we arrived, sire," he protested. "People running and screaming, fires everywhere. Complete chaos, sire. All we can be sure of is that no one got out, and we searched them all, sire, we searched them all."
Vimes shut his eyes. Memories were fading fast, as common sense walled up all those things that could not have happened, but he recalled the panicking grags hunched over something. Had there been just a twinkle of blue and green specks? Time for a long shot.
"Corporal Nobbs, come here," he said. "Let him through, Captain, I insist."
Good didn't protest. His spirit was broken. A reluctant Nobby was produced.
"Yes, Mr. Vimes," he said.
"Corporal Nobbs, did you obtain that precious thing I asked you to acquire?" said Vimes.
"What would that be, sir?" said Nobby.
Vimes's heart leapt. Nobby's face was an open book, albeit the kind that got banned in some countries.
"Nobby, there are times when I'll put up with you mucking about. This isn't one," he said. "Did you find the thing I asked you to look for?"
Nobby looked into his eyes.
Oh, yes, sir," he said. Yeah, we rushed in, you see, and people were running everywhere, and there was, like, smoke."
Nobby's face glazed, and his lips moved soundlessly in an agony of creation.
And I was bravely fighting, when what did I see but a sparkly thing rolling and being kicked about, and I thought, I just bet that's the very same sparkly thing Mr. Vimes very specifically told me to be looking out for, and here it is, all safe."
He pulled a small, gently glittering cube from his pocket and held it out. Vimes was faster than the king. His hand shot forward, closed over the cube, and was locked in a fist in the skin of a second.
"Well done, Corporal Nobbs, for obeying my orders so concisely," he said, and stifled a grin at Nobby's impeccably dreadful salute.
"I believe that is dwarf property, Commander Vimes," said the king calmly.
Vimes opened his hand palm up. The cube, only a couple of inches across, gave off little blue and green glints. The metal looked like bronze that had been corroded by time into a beautiful pattern of greens, blues and browns. It was a jewel. "He's a king," thought Vimes. "A king on a throne as wobbly as a rocking horse. And he's not nice. It's not a job where the nice last long. He even got a spy into my watch. I will not put my faith in kings. Right now, who do I trust? Me. One thing I do know is that no damn demon got inside my head, no matter what they say. I wouldn't buy that, even if they threw in a lifetime supply of cabbage. No one gets into my head but me. But you play the hand you're dealt.
Take it," he said, opening his hand.
On his wrist, the summoning dark glowed.
"I ask you to give it to me, Commander," said Rhys.
"Take it," Vimes repeated,
and he thought, "Let's see what you believe, shall we?" The king reached out, hesitated, and then slowly withdrew his hand.
"Or perhaps," he said, as if the thought had just occurred to him, "it might be best to leave it in your celebrated custody, Commander Vimes."
"Yes, I want to hear what it has to say," said Vimes, closing his fist again. "I want to know what was too dangerous to know."
"Indeed, so do I," said the king of the dwarfs. "We will take it to a place that can—"
"Look around you, sire," snapped Vimes. "Dwarfs and trolls died here. They weren't fighting. They were standing together. Look around you. The place looks like a god's damn game board. Was this their testament? Then we listen to it here, in this place, at this time."
"And supposing what it has to say is dreadful," said the king.
"Then we listen." "I am the king, Vimes. You have no authority here. This is not your city. You stand here defying me with a handful of men and your wife and child not 10 miles away."
Rhys stopped, and the echoes bounced back from distant caves, tumbling over themselves and dying into a silence that rang like iron. Out of the corner of his ear, Vimes heard Sally say, "Whoops." Bashfulson hurried forward and whispered something in the king's ear. The dwarf's expression changed, as only a politician's face can, into careful amity. "I'm not going to do a thing," Vimes told himself. "I'm just going to stand here."
"I do look forward to meeting Lady Sybil again," said Rhys. "And your son, of course."
"Good. They're staying in a house not 10 miles away," said Vimes. "Sergeant Littlebottom?"
"Sir?"
said Cheery. "Please take Lance Constable Humperdinck with you and go down to the town, will you? Tell Lady Sybil I'm fine," Vimes added, not taking his eyes off the king. "Off you go, right now."
As they hurried away, the king smiled and looked around the cavern. He sighed.
"Well, I cannot afford a row with Ankh Morpork, not at the moment."
"Very well, Commander. Do you know how to make it speak?"
"No, don't you?"
This is a game, right? Vimes thought. A king wouldn't take this kind of gobbiness from anyone, especially when he outnumbered them 10 to 1.
A row? You'd just have to say we got caught in a storm in Coombe Valley, which is such a treacherous place, as everyone agrees. He'll be greatly missed, and we will certainly hand over his body if it ever turns up.
But you're not going to try that, are you? Because you need me. You know something about this cavern, yes? And whatever's going to happen, you want good old, not sharp but by gods he's straight Sam Vimes to tell the world.
No two cubes are alike, said Rhys. It is usually a word, but it can be a breath, a sound, a temperature,
A point in the world, the smell of rain. Anything. I understand that there are many cubes that have never spoken.
Really, said Vimes. But this thing damn well gabbled. And whoever sent it out of the valley wanted it to be heard. So I doubt if it only starts talking when a virgin's tear falls on it on a warm Tuesday in February. And this one started chatting very smartly to a man who didn't know a word of dwarfish, too.
But the speaker would want dwarfs to hear it, surely, the king protested.
It's a 2,000-year-old legend. Who knows who wanted what, said Vimes. What do you want?
This was to Nobby, who had appeared beside him, looking with interest at the cube.
How did that... he get past my guards, said the king.
The knob's sidle, said Vimes, and as a couple of embarrassed guards dropped heavy hands on Nobby's frail shoulders, he added,
No, leave him. Come on, Nobby, you say something to make this thing start speaking.
Say something, or it'll be the worse for you, Nobby suggested.
Not a bad try, Vimes conceded.
100 years ago, sire, I doubt if anyone in Ankh-Morpork knew many words of dwarf or troll. Perhaps the message was intended for humans. There must have been a settlement down on the plain with all those birds and fish to eat.
Perhaps some more human words then, Nobby, said the king.
Okay. Open. Speak. Say something. Talk. Spill the beans. Play.
No, no, Mr. Vimes, he's doing it wrong, Fred Colon shouted. It was in the olden days, right? So it'd be old words, like, openeth.
Vimes laughed as an idea struck. I wonder, he thought.
It could be.
This is not really about words, it's about sounds, noises. Bashfulson was watching the attempt with a puzzled expression.
What is the dwarf word for open, Mr. Bashfulson? Said Vimes.
In the sense of open a book? That would be dwe, Commander.
That won't do. How about say?
Why, that would be arg, or in the peremptive form, ork, Commander. You know, I don't think...
Excuse me, said Vimes loudly. The babble of voices stopped.
Ork, he said.
The blue and green lights ceased their sparkle, and instead began to move across the metal to form a pattern of blue and green squares.
I thought the artist knew no dwarfish, said the king.
He didn't, but he spoke fluent chicken, said Vimes. I'll explain later.
Captain, fetch the grags, the king snapped. The prisoners too, even the trolls, all shall hear this.
The cube's surface seemed to be moving over Vimes's skin. Some of the green and blue squares rose slightly proud of the rest of the metal. The box began to speak. There was a crackle that sounded like dwarfish, although Vimes couldn't make out a single word. It was followed by a couple of loud knocking noises.
"Second convocation, Hublin Dwarfish," said Bashfulson.
"That would be right for the time. Whoever is speaking has just said, "Art this thing working?"
The voice spoke again. As the cracked old syllables unrolled, Bashfulson went on.
"The first thing Tack did, he wrote himself. The second thing Tack did, he wrote the laws. The third thing Tack did, he wrote the world. The fourth thing Tack did, he wrote a cave. The fifth thing Tack did, he wrote a geode, a egg of stone. And in the gloaming of the mouth of the cave, the geode hatched, and the brothers were born. The first brother walked towards the dark and stood under the open sky.
This is just the story of the things Tack wrote, Cheery whispered to Vimes.
Vimes shrugged and watched as some of the bodyguards hustled the old grags into the circle, ardent among them.
It's not new or anything, Vimes said, disappointed.
Every dwarf knows it, sir.
He was the first dwarf, Bashfulson translated. He found the laws Tack had written, and he was endarkened.
The crackling voice went on, and then Bashfulson, who had his eyes closed in concentration, opened them in shock.
Then Tack looked upon the stone, and it was trying to come alive, and Tack smiled and wrote, "All things strive," said the dwarf, raising his voice above the growing commotion around him. And for the service the stone had given, he fashioned it into the first troll, and delighted in the life that came unbidden. These are the things that Tack wrote.
He was shouting now because of the noise level. Vimes felt like an outsider. It seemed that everyone except him was arguing. Axes were being flourished.
I who speak to you now am Barion Bloodaxe, by right of the scone, the true king of the dwarfs, Bashfulson screamed.
The cave went silent, except for the echoing scream returning from distant darkness.
We were washed into the caves by the flood. We sought one another, voices in the dark. We are dying. Our bodies are broken by the terrible water with teeth of stone. We are too weak to climb. Water surrounds all. This testament we will entrust to young Strong in the Arm, who is still nimble, in the hope that it will reach the daylight. For the story of this day must not be forgotten. This outcome was not meant. We came to sign a treaty. It was the secret, careful work of many years.
The box stopped speaking, but there were faint groans and the rush of water somewhere.
"Sire, I demand that this should not be heard," shouted Ardent from among the grabs. "It is nothing but lies upon lies. There is no truth in it. What proof is there that this is the voice of Blood Axe?"
Captain Good is looking a bit uncertain, Vimes thought. The king's bodyguard? Well, they mostly looked like the stolid kind who stayed loyal and didn't pay much attention. The miners? Angry and confused because the old grags are yelling. This is going to go bad really fast.
"City watch, to me," he shouted.
The background noises from the cube died, and another voice started to speak. Detritus looked up quickly.
"That's old Troll," he said.
Bashfulson hesitated for a moment.
"I am Diamond King of Trolls," he said, looking desperately at Vimes. "Indeed, we came to make peace, but the mist came down upon us, and when it rose, some trolls and dwarfs cried, 'Ambush!' They fell to fighting and would not hear our commands. So troll fought troll, and dwarf fought dwarf, and fools made fools of all of us as we fought to stop a war until the disgusted sky washed us away. And yet we say this. Here in this cave at the end of the world, peace is made between dwarf and troll, and we will march beyond the hand of death together. For the enemy is not troll, nor is it dwarf, but it is the baleful, the malign, the cowardly, the vessels of hatred, those who do a bad thing and call it good. Those we fought today, but the willful fool is eternal, and will say, 'This is just a trick,' Ardent shouted. 'Say, this is a trick,' Bashfulson continued. 'And so we implore, come to the caves under this valley, where you will find us sharing the peace that cannot be broken.'"
The rumbling voice from the box stopped speaking. There was, once again, a rustle of half-heard voices, and then silence. The little squares moved about like a sliding puzzle for a moment, and sound came back. Now what issued from the box was shouts and screams and the clash of steel. Vimes was watching the king's face. Some of this you knew, right? Not all of it. But you didn't look surprised that it was Blood Axe speaking. Rumours. Old stories. Something in the records? You'll never tell me.
"Hadra,"
said Bashfulson, and the cube fell silent.
"That means stop, Commander," the Grag added. "And so we are in the Coombe Valley," sneered Ardent. "And what do we find?"
"We find you," said Bashfulson.
"We always find you. Dead trolls, dead dwarfs, and nothing more than a voice," said Ardent. "Ankh Morpork is here. They are devious. These words could have been spoken yesterday."
The king was watching Ardent and Bashfulson. So was every other dwarf. "You don't have to stand and argue," Vimes wanted to shout. "Just chain the bastards up, and we can sort it out later." But being a dwarf was all about words and laws.
"These are venerable grags," said Ardent, indicating the robed figures behind him. "They have studied the histories. They have studied the devices. Thousands of years of knowledge stand before you. And you, what do you know?"
"You came to destroy the truth," said Bashfulson. "You dared not trust it. A voice is just a voice, but these bodies are proof."
Ardent snatched the axe from a miner and was flourishing it before any of the bodyguards could react. When realization caught up with them, there was a massed move forwards.
"No," said Bashfulson, holding up his hands. "Sire, please. This is an argument between grags." "Why do you carry no axe?" Ardent snarled.
"I need no axe to be a dwarf," said Bashfulson. "Nor do I need to hate trolls. What kind of creature defines itself by hatred?"
"You strike at the very root of us," said Ardent. "At the root?"
"Then strike back," said Bashfulson,
holding out his empty hands. "'And put your sword away, Commander Vimes,' he added, without turning his head. "'This is dwarf business. Ardent. I'm still standing. What do you believe in? Ha'ak! Gastrak Jada!'
Ardent jerked forward, axe raised. Bashfulson moved quickly. There was the thud of something hitting flesh, and then a tableau as motionless as the brooding figures around the cavern. There was Ardent, axe raised overhead. There was Bashfulson, down on one knee, with his head resting almost companionably against the dwarf's chest, and the edge of one hand pressed hard against Ardent's throat. Ardent's mouth opened, but all that came out was a croak and a trickle of blood. He took a few steps back and fell over backwards. The axe struck the white, wet, stony waterfall and smashed through the drip of millennia. Time fell in shards around it. Bashfulson rose, looking shocked and massaging his hand. "'It is like using an axe,' he said, to no one in particular. "'But without the axe.' The uproar began again, but a dwarf, dripping with water, pushed through the mob.
"'Sire, there's a band of trolls coming up the valley. They ask for you. They say they want to parley.'
Rhys stepped over the body of Ardent, looking intently at the hole in the waterfall of stone. Another piece fell down as he touched it.
"'Is there something unusual about their leader?' he said, still staring into the new darkness.
"'Yes, sire. He's all sparkly.'
"'Ah, good,' said the king. "'He has his parley. Bring him down here.'
"'Could that be a troll who knows some very powerful dwarfs?' said Vimes.
The low king met his eyes for a moment.
"'Yes, I imagine it is,' he said.
Then he raised his voice. "'Someone fetch me a torch.
Commander Vimes, could you just look at this, please?'
In the depths of the revealed cave, something shone.